Silence is a time for candlelight. It's a time when one desires little more than family and soft music. Who can say what passes through our hearts at Christmas? Strange thoughts, undefinable emotions, sudden tears. It is a time to be quietly glad. It is a time to wonder, to give thanks, and of quiet awakening to beauty that still lives on through the strife of a war-torn world. And solstice is also a time for memories and remembering. For some, the memories are of loved family members who have died, and the festive season makes the pain of those losses ever more real. For others, the memories are of happier times than we now know, felt as the anguish of broken relationships, the insecurity around employment, the anxiety of illness or poor health, or the emptiness of loss. All these feelings are with us this night as we gather in this sacred place. Here we are safe to feel what we feel, to acknowledge our sadness, to share our concern, to release our anger, to face our emptiness, and still to know that God, by whatever name, is made present in the caring thoughts and deeds of others. So let us be and share and remember and receive, assured that we are not alone in our life experiences. This is from Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 12. So, brothers and sisters, we are under no obligation to worldly life, to live according to what it expects of us. Because if you live in accord with worldly expectations, you are surely doomed. But if by the power of God you continue to eliminate the malignant practices of your mortal life, you will live. For all who are led by the power and purpose of God are the children of God. You have not received a slave's spirit that will lead you back to a state of fear, but you received a spirit of adoption by virtue of which we call out Abba, Father. God's power and presence joins us in affirming that we are God's children. And if we are God's children, then we are also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with the anointed, since we experience the same abuse as he did, in the hope that we may share his exaltation. I regard the sufferings of the present pregnant moment as nothing, compared with the future splendor to be revealed to us. For the whole creation eagerly anticipates the disclosure of who God's children really are. For the purpose of the creation was suppressed through no fault of its own, but by the one who subjugated it in the hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its subjection to degeneration and participate in the splendid freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been moaning with birth pangs until now. And not only the creation, but we who have savored the first taste of God's power also sigh within ourselves while we await our adoption, the release and transformation of our bodies from their earthly limitations and fate. This hope of adoption has saved us. Hope's not about what our eyes can see, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we are hoping for what we do not see, then we are eagerly looking forward to it through our perseverance. In support of this hope, God's power comes to the aid of our weakness. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but God's power intervenes with yearnings beyond words. The one who searches human hearts knows what the divine intention is. God's power and presence intervenes on behalf of the people of God in accordance with the purposes of God. God's power comes to the aid of our weakness. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought, But God's power intervenes with yearnings beyond words. The one who searches human hearts knows what the divine intention is. God's power and presence intervenes on behalf of the people of God in accordance with the purposes of God. Silence like a cancer grows. Paul Simon's The Sound of Silence is a powerful and prophetic song. It speaks to the fear that cripples us and causes us to turn away from what is unspoken but needs to be spoken. Silence can be a weapon by those who would oppress others. It allows them to work in secret while suffering people are not allowed to be heard. Too often, the stories of the victims don't make the news. And no matter how hard they cry or how hard they try, still, no one dare disturb the sound of silence. The Presbyterian Church, in its brief statement of faith, speaks to this deadly, cancerous silence. There's a clause that reads in the section on the Holy Spirit like this: "The Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all people to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of people long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace." The faith statement knows the contrast between silence on one hand and justice, freedom, and peace on the other. It isn't the oppression that's the most deadly. It's the silence. And the Spirit's response is the courage to witness, to bear witness to what we see and hear. And it isn't anything dramatic or heroic or even difficult on the surface of it. Speak. Speak what you see, speak what you hear, not what others in their fear tell you what you should see or hear. Do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? How can we break this deadly grip of silence on our culture and our church? It's more than just being loud like the flashing neon lights. It's about bearing witness. Now, there's another silence that is not deadly or cancerous. This is the silence that comes to us in our yearnings beyond words. In our weakness, when we don't know how to pray, St. Paul writes, "God's power comes to the aid of our weakness. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but God's power intervenes with yearnings beyond words. The one who searches human hearts knows what the divine intention is. God's power and presence intervenes on behalf of the people of God in accordance with the purposes of God." And this is the silence that's the appropriate response to divine communication. Let all mortal flesh keep silence. This is not about being silent in the face of injustice. This is the silence that is the response to grace. This is the silence imposed upon Zechariah when he couldn't fathom the miracle about to be visited upon him and his wife Elizabeth, a son in their old age. "Best keep quiet, Zechariah, than speak of thoughts too large for your mind." This is the response to the presence of the Holy. This is the response when we are too earthly minded, too shallow in our thought, too stumbling in our faith, when the Divine One intervenes with yearnings beyond words. Then we are known as we know. Silence like a cancer grows. True. Let all mortal flesh keep silence. True. Both are silence, one deadly, the other life-giving. Spirit intervenes with yearnings beyond words. Also true. The best definition of grief I have heard is that grief is love that lost its object. Grief is still searching. Grief is still yearning. It's been 6 years since we lost our son, Zachary, and I give my permission to say his name and what I'm feeling during this longest night service. I guess I take pastoral privilege in doing that. And I'm grateful that you're here to hear it. If I don't say his name on a regular basis, it's deadly. And the yearning is sharp at Christmas. So often I have no idea how to pray, how to process, how to think, or even how to feel. The grace is that I don't have to know how to do any of it. The grace is that God intervenes with yearnings beyond words. God searches my own heart, bringing out what is divine within. My heart is known, and in that I trust. Of course, not just me. You too, I'm just making it personal. So you may say, well, God does that all for you, huh? And that's kind of funny, I suppose. I wouldn't have said that 6 years ago when I told my counselor that God was like a dead tree stump. I guess it's true what the prophet said, that a root will grow out of the stump. And I bear witness to that. No matter what happens, it is good. It is possible to be changed for the better. It is possible for one's heart to be known by God. It's possible to have a sense of peace about who one is and what one is to do. It is possible for the healing power of silence that comes from grace to be transformed into words on behalf of those who suffer in deadly silence. It truly is possible to be moved through grace and grief to life and purpose. And for that, on this dark night, I bear witness and I am grateful.